Hey, Thumbeteers. Welcome back to another on again, off again, when we feel like it, Idle Thumbs podcast. I guess you could consider this podcast a barely readable vital sign of an otherwise unconscious Idle Thumbs. We've been quite comatosed, but we are still alive. We can blink if you play us our favorite music or something, or tickle us. We are still here. So, in our latest podcast, this episode, we will be talking about the Nordic Game Conference, the outcomes from TGS, all the games trailers from there, maybe some general next gen things, maybe a Raging Ball, but who knows? But first, our man Marek Bronstring here is going to tell us all about the Nordic Game Conference that he just got back from.
Correct. Yes, I went to the Nordic Game Conference last week, which is kind of an obscure conference, I guess. It's not very well known. It's being held in Malmo in Sweden. I actually probably would not have gone there if someone had not, recommended it to me. And it turned out to be a pretty surprisingly good conference, actually.
Did they not actually ask you to go and speak there?
No. That's something else you're probably thinking of. No, I was there as a journalist. I did some interviews there, not all for Thumb, actually, but
none for Thumb. Correct.
not a think about. Yeah.
But don't tell. Don't give that away.
but it was pretty cool. It's a small conference, only 650 delegates or so. So you have a lot of time and a lot of opportunity to actually, talk to people more privately, and it's kind of cool and relaxed. So that's nice. The lectures weren't of the same standard as GDC or anything, but it was still pretty good.
I think it's had quite a lot more coverage than, we've had London Games Week and some other things occurring here, but
yeah.
I didn't even know they were, in existence. So,
true.
But Nordic Games
Are you talking about the London Games Week or Nordic Game?
No, Nordic Games, I noticed there was coverage of it, whereas other things that have been going on. So, yeah, it's bigger than perhaps it seems.
Yeah,
what were
exactly.
The highlights then, Mr. Merrick?
It actually attracted a couple of, international speakers that are pretty well known. One of them was Tetsuya Mizuguchi, who has made Res, Space Channel 5, and Luminous, of course.
Hero.
Yes, absolutely. And he gave one of the main keynotes, in which he basically told where all of the ideas for his games originated. It was called Inspiration Lab Game Design or something. So he talked about how Space Channel 5 was inspired by, sort of the dancing sequences in musicals, and how Res had many sort of sources of inspiration. For instance, the paintings of Kandinsky. Is that his name? All right. Yeah, there's an artist who sort of created the theory of synesthesia. And about synesthesia, right? They talked a lot about it when Res came out.
Like, yeah.
Being able to smell sounds and stuff like that, it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's his. he actually remembered that guy from his media aesthetics course that, he took as a student. So he wasn't very interested in it back then, but then he was like, hey, wait a minute, I'm working on a game that, relates to this. And he talked a lot about the first sort of rave that he went to and, seeing all the lights in sync with the music and all the people moving at the same time, and that sort of inspired him as well. So that was kind of what his talk was about.
That's interesting to hear from him, definitely.
What?
It's always interesting to hear from people like Mitsuguchi.
Absolutely. Sometimes he gives very sort of philosophical answers to questions in interviews. I don't know if you've noticed, but, he's kind of one of those guys who does that. And sometimes I wonder, is he just saying that because people expect him to sound visionary and stuff like that, or is he really, you know, inspired by all these things? And, you know, I got to sort of get to know him a little bit during the conference, and, you know, he really thinks about all these things. He's very observing and thinks a lot about what he does with his games. So that's really cool.
So from the coverage I saw, the main thing that was being touted around was that Mitsubishi unveiled or played the first video of Luminaze 2.
Correct. Yeah, that was actually at the end of his keynote. And basically, it looks like the first game, really. A major difference being that you now see music videos in the background while you're playing. So they licensed a lot of tracks with a lot of artists, and they also have music videos in the background. And at first I thought, like, oh, okay, this is like one of those ways to exploit licensed content, right? You make a deal with a record company and, you know, whatever.
Exactly.
I was like, okay. But actually, there's a bit more behind it. It turns out that Mizuguchi is really interested in music videos right now. In fact, on the second day, I had an interview with him, and he showed me a music video that he's working on right now. Not a game, but an actual music video for a Japanese band. And it looked pretty cool, actually. I don't know if you know the video of Aha, Take On Me, you know? With a drawn style.
Really bizarre, like, stop motion, kind of 2D madness.
Exactly. If you're listening to this and you don't know that video, look it up on YouTube because, you know, it's one of the classics, really. But it looked kind of like that. It had a main character that was drawn that way and sort of shifted between being a real-life person and a drawing. But he also did some other things with it. It was really nice and really interesting. And I actually told him it was awesome, but I hope that he will continue making games and not get distracted by music videos.
Yeah, right. I was going to say, you mentioned music videos twice now. So, like, Luminaze, and he's working on his own. And I wondered.
Exactly. And, you know, I even tried sort of get him to talk about what he would do with a sequel to Rez if he had the opportunity to do that, which, you know, is all up to Sega, and is it's not very sure that it will ever happen, but he's thinking about it apparently. And
I think
even there he was talking about music videos and how he wanted levels to tell more of a story that you could actually tell from the images what it was about. So that's his thing right now.
That's kind of interesting, I guess, because if you think about his games, Space Channel 5 does have a story, but it's just like any other thing. It's like linear, and then there's no actual story through dance or through the,
exactly.
Interaction. It happens in between the actual
it's
level
in the
kind of thing. Yeah. Whereas Rez, I guess there's a story there, but it's not really a story. I mean, you make it up yourself. Or whatever,
exactly.
I don't know. Hardcore Rez fans probably know something more about that.
Speaking of Space Channel 5, you know there's Michael Jackson in it, right?
Yeah, Space Michael, in fact, not Michael Jackson.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Do you know why he's in there?
Oh?
They actually had... Michael Jackson actually visited Sega at the time. Because apparently Sega was in a Michael Jackson game. I don't know. You said something like that. I don't know.
There was a Moonwalker game. I don't know if... I think that was on Mega Drive. So, That was a long time ago, though.
Yeah, that's interesting. In any case, Michael Jackson actually visited their offices, and he saw the game, and he said, hey, look, I want to be in this game. And they basically said, no, it's way too late, and we have no time to do that. And he kept begging to be in the game, actually. So then they just... they were just like, oh, okay, we'll get someone to animate this character. Apparently, Mizuguchi thought he was a really cool guy. Back then, he was, still healthy and sane, apparently. I'm talking about Michael Jackson.
That was maybe 10 years ago or something, not even.
Yeah, probably. Seven. I don't know.
No.
Somewhere, yeah.
So what did he get out of the Nordic Game Conference like, what did you come away with? You could summarize.
It's very hard to summarize a conference because basically there's a billion things happening there.
Okay, well.
So specifically,
what was the best thing that happened?
Oh, let's see. That's a difficult question, you know that. I guess it's all pretty subjective because it depends on what you do there and the kind of people you meet. But I guess what was nice was me and some other people, and we were this group, and Mitsubishi was there as well. And we were just, you know, heading to the conference party. And we just sat in the park and you know, drank wine together, and it was kind of surreal, you know. You're at an international conference with these people, and you're just chilling out, and it was really nice. So I guess that was my subjective sort of nicest moment from the conference, apart from all the lectures and all the information that we got, of course.
Cool.
Does that answer your question?
Just about. So if you want to hear more about Marek's excursions into the land of, is it Sweden?
Press one.
You can read about them, not on Idle Thumbs as you might think, but on shacknews.com.
Yes, I betrayed some.
Yeah, they always steal everyone. But we love them all the same. So if you want to read that, that should be published sometime, next week or something, or this week?
Exactly. Yeah, it's probably tomorrow. I just needed the money, you know, to get through college. And my mom doesn't even know I write for Shaq, you know, it's a secret. But I promise I will quit once I have enough money.
If you like idlethumbs.net, you're in for a surprise. 'Cause we're not in a coma, we're just resting our eyes.
Last week, or last weekend, has it just finished? It was Tokyo Game Show, TGS. All the media attention has been very heavily focused on it. We've seen a lot of stuff, not a lot of stuff that's particularly excited me, but a lot of PS3 and, mainly PS3, but a lot of 360 stuff as well has come out of that, new game announcements and things. Ben is actually there. Ben works for Sega and has the lucky job of being flown to TGS to play all the games there and write about them and tell Sega why they are good. sadly, I couldn't get Ben on the line. Probably because it's some ridiculous time in the morning there. So maybe we'll get an update from him like next week or next year. But Marek, what are your opinions on things that have come out of TGS? I mean, there are several games, right?
I've sort of looked at the trailers and stuff. I think what I was most impressed with were the different RPGs being made for 360.
Before we go on, I think that's key. I mean, I think nearly every trailer I saw was an RPG.
Yeah, it was basically everything coming out of TGS was an RPG, apparently.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
So what are the top three we've got?
Let's see, Lost Odyssey was kind of impressive.
So was that the one with the huge battle scene at the beginning of the trailer?
Yeah.
The beginning of the gameplay trailer?
Yeah. It looked really nice. I mean, the art direction is really interesting. I don't know if it will be an interesting game. That's kind of a big question there, you know?
I watched the trailer, and it went on for so long, and basically, yeah. When it got to the gameplay, I was like, oh, all that for a turn-based RPG? But I kind of just wanted to continue watching it, like a movie. I didn't really want it to end. I was like, oh, yeah, it was fun. But just kidding. It wasn't that interesting.
Nice. How the cutscenes were sort of integrated with the gameplay, though. It wasn't a very jarring sort of transition.
Right, I think we've seen that quite a few times, right? It's quite seamless. Well, not seamless, but they're very much attempting to seamlessly go between cutscenes and gameplay without loading screens and without you notice, you know, it being too noticeable that it's changed from being a rendered thing into real time. And some of those trailers have demonstrated that pretty well.
Yeah. The battle for in Lost Odyssey, it's the opening battle actually that's being shown. It does drag on for a bit though. I mean, I wish they had cut like 2 minutes of it or something, so that would
Right.
be really tight and really have the best impact.
Right, that's what I mean. It was just like a huge movie, and by that time you're into the movie, not the game. Like I didn't care anymore. I just wanted to see what was going on.
Right. So, what other games were there?
There was it Blue Dragon?
Blue
Something like
Dragon,
that?
yeah.
So that's got
That
an
was
interesting
nice.
art style, kind of cartoony, but it once again it's a turn-based RPG. They're all kind of Final Fantasy clones. I didn't get to see too much of that trailer. Did you have any thoughts on it?
I saw quite a bit of it. Again, the gameplay is not really that exciting. I have to say I'm not a big fan of turn-based RPGs in
No,
general,
me
so I'm
either.
already sort of turned off. But the art style, I love it. It's sort of a combination of, let's say, Beyond Good and Evil, Wallace and Gromit, and anime style.
I'd say it was very close to the recently released, what's it called? Dragon Quest, which was designed by the guy that did Dragon Ball Z or Z, and it was kind of cel shaded, and it was reminiscent of that.
Yeah, the characters had a sort of Dragon Ball kind of thing going on, right?
Yeah. I don't know. So the other one
It
then
looked
were.
nice. They were like crazy robots and, sort of really nicely designed, sort of kid fantasy stuff there. It was really nice. And it would really fit well in the 360 lineup with, Cameo or some other, kid-friendly games.
So then the third one that was brought to our attention was. I forgot what it's called. Was it the White Knight or something? No.
Yeah, it was White Knight, I think.
Was it that? Is that what it's called? The one that's like Taiko and Gabe are going on about, or is it just Taiko?
Oh boy, what are Tycho and Gabe saying?
I think it's Taiko was spouting out about how it was basically his dream. That what's it called? White Knight Story. That's the one. So Taiko says, Level 5 is in no way fucking around. That's how you sell us a goddamn PlayStation 3. We're almost
Right.
impervious to many of the blah blah blah. But the point is, yeah, he loved that. I mean, for me, it was like, hey, it looks kind of nice. And they run up, and then maybe it's a random encounter. They're like, check those guys over there, run across the bridge, have a little fight. But realistically, if you
Exactly.
look at that, when you look at all of these games and you think, that looks neat, you've got to remember that. With that type of gameplay, that's what you'll be doing a thousand billion times. That exact thing. Like, it looks really neat in White Knight Sky. You run along, you fight some guys, and you fight a cool boss, and his animation, and it's awesome. But, if I've learned anything from playing and watching Final Fantasy, it's that that happens all the fucking time, and you see the same animation over and over and over again.
It
So.
will be big in Japan. That's
Oh
basically
yeah, I mean all of them will. And it does look kind
the
of nice and, blah blah
thing.
blah.
It is like a sort of a defining title for the system, and that's really cool. I am a bit surprised though with how excited people are about it. I mean, I think it's exciting, but it's not, my pants are still clean. That's
I
basically it.
mean, yeah, maybe we're just dried
Also,
out though from the Wii announcements and things.
right. Two things that I think are impressive of this game are basically how fluid the animations are. It
Yeah.
really seems like this guy's actually fighting, and they slash and then they move back, and it's all sort of fluidly sort of transitions, and it's really nicely done, and it actually seems like it's CGI, but it's not. And the second thing I really liked was how sort of the camera cuts really nicely when there's a special move. Suddenly in the trailer, it sort of goes to the crane shot, so to speak, and then quickly to the bottom again, and I don't know what happens, but it was cool.
I think
So the editing was really tight.
I think it definitely had polish or whatever you want to call that, it was tight.
But that landscape in the background, that was like really boring and really standard. I mean, people are like, whoa, this is really cool, but I thought it was inferior to something like Oblivion, which has much nicer
Yeah,
landscapes and
and being
characters
a
in it.
PC gamer or anything, we've seen it all. Water is the easiest thing to do. I don't know, it's not probably, but it's what everyone always focuses on because then you go, holy crap, look at that water, it's amazing. But that's been the that I think the way water is animated in a game is has been, I don't know if it's like 10 years now, the pinnacle of like, holy crap, you know, that's the best ever water I've ever seen. And they always like put loads of water in. There's like water levels, you know, piers and stuff everywhere, like
In
Half-Life 2 with all the beach. Like, check out the water.
the
Yeah.
water is the standard tech demo for like 3D stuff. It has been for many decades, as well as crystal balls and
Yeah.
what else?
Actually, speaking of water, there was one more game. And that was BioShock.
Yeah,
And
and
was that.
actually that game is focusing on water a lot.
Yeah.
There's your bridge
That
right
was my
there.
vague bridge. But so BioShock, was that at TGS, the demo that came out of that? I'm not sure.
No, it was pre-TGS.
Yeah, that's what I didn't imagine it would be there, but I watched it anyway and was like, yay.
Fucking, we'll put it on the TGS file if that's, you know, if we want to keep it neat and ordered.
It looks really shiny, and being I was a huge
Okay.
fan of System Shock, the first two games, mainly the second. Being that they were kind of the first real, for me, like RPG, FPS, horror, kind
Right.
of, and playing through co-op. And I doubt that they've included co-op in this version, but I would love it if they had. But it's got such an interesting aesthetic, the fact that it's like some kind of bizarre 50s underwater utopian kind of place where they've played with genetic modification and it's kind of gone wrong. The
Absolutely.
animation, the voice acting, the art style just looked incredible. As for
It
the
is
gameplay, we'll have to see,
really
but
pretty and really conceptually very interesting. But could you sort of explain what's awesome about System Shock? Because I still have not played those games.
let's look at System Shock 2 then. It was how I don't know how long ago, maybe say 10 years ago from now, must have been, or around then, that it came out, and it provided a very a role-playing game mechanic to a first-person shooter. So you go around, you pick stuff up, but you also level up, and you choose a path, so you can be like a warrior or like a wizard type character, you know. And you have all these items, and it was just very well scripted, the whole game. You come across encounters. It was very spooky. The story of it was basically that there's a spaceship off in space, and kind of everyone dies on it, and the mainframe, the computer itself, has become self-aware or whatever, and gone mental. And you go around the spaceship, and of course everyone is dead or they've been zombified or whatever, and you're on your own. It's kind of creepy atmosphere, very creepy. And
Cool.
you see ghosts in System Shock 2. And so they lead you to clues sometimes that you can't interact with the ghost, but you might see one wandering around and then later find their body on the floor. And so, you know, the story has evolved that way. And also it was just kind of freaky. All the AI was very freaky. There were robots that wanted to look after you so much that they would run up to you and explode. That kind of thing. And it
Cool.
was just a very incredible, well-made game that drew story and RPG and FPS elements all together at once and evolved out,
So
and the
cool.
story was actually kind of interesting for once. So a lot of people have high hopes. I mean, I think for a lot of people I know, System Shock 2 was the story-based FPS win, and so I
Right.
think a lot of people, BioShock has
When
a
I
lot of hope.
saw the demonstration of BioShock, they show stuff like, you know, you can try this, or you can try this, or you can try this. It's all up to you. You have all the choices, and everything is dynamic and nothing is scripted, which is
Right.
really cool. But it does worry me a little because you know, I've played games like Deus Ex, the second one, not the first one. I hear it's insanely good, but the second one is kind of you know, sort of good, but not really. And in that game, you also have like five different ways to do everything, like, you know, hack the security camera or, you know, create a distraction or whatever. And ultimately, it turns out that all these options that you have are really just alternatives and not true, you know, truly different options. They don't
Right.
let you make mistakes, like real mistakes, or, you know,
I don't know,
really
like.
go a different path because you made a certain choice. It's just, you know, you have five choices every time, you know,
In
or
System
three,
Shock 2,
and
I think it was more basic. So you could hack through the door if you had that skill, or if you wanted to spend time playing a mini game that would allow you to hack through the door, or you could kind of try and find the guy who was dead who had the key to get through it, or maybe you could find some other way of bashing through the door. And I think that if you allow people to make mistakes too much, then it's going to be hard because it means they can't go back. You know, when you've ever got, I don't know, there must be games with bugs where you've done something wrong and you can't redeem yourself and you have to start again from the beginning. You don't want that to happen in a game design, ever.
That's true. There could be a lot of, bad sort of, I think a lot of stalemates. So you want to avoid those. But what I think I would like is that the game makes you feel as though you are clever and you came up with this shit, and not whenever you see a certain challenge, you know that there's going to be the stealth option, the diplomatic option, or the, brute force option, and it is more like, what kind of flavor of ice cream you want,
Right. I mean, I know exactly what you mean.
It's a lot like that.
Let me point it, remember the Half-Life 2 demonstration videos, which were never actually, the gameplay scene in those was never in the game, remember those? That's exactly what you're talking about. It's like, oh, what if I get that thing and make that thing fall on that guy?
Right.
Whereas in Half-Life 2, it was kind of less, it was more kind of scripted, but not,
Right. So, yeah, I'm excited for Bioshock, but I'm also sort of, reserved in that regard. It could be like this flawed but still awesome game, That's probably what it's going to be. If you don't like certain gameplay styles, you might not really get into it. But, if you overlook the flaws, it will be awesome. That's, I think, what it will be.
I don't think it'll live up to its predecessor, but I think that it'll be fun, maybe. But it's the most exciting thing I've seen, including all the TGS announcements in the last couple of days. So that was cool.
Yeah.
So basically,
and it was a
TGS
nice way to present the game. Yeah, it was a nice way to present the game, by the way. I should point that out.
Yeah, it really was.
Basically, like the lead designer just narrating the video and almost like director's commentary, really. It was really nice.
It was good. So that was TGS. Okay. Maybe we'll get more from that when Ben returns. Otherwise, in the news, not a great deal has been happening. Focus has been on TGS. One main thing that has been occurring is Yui Ball has been beating the shit out of people. I think his name is pronounced Yui Ball, but some people think it's called Ue or
Ball or whatever.
Ui, but we can just call him Ball.
Ball.
So he's been beating up Lotax, and he beat up someone before, and I thought that was it. I thought that was the only one he was going to beat up. But then apparently he beat up two more guys recently, and one of them was Lotax, and the internet is torn because most people hate Lotax, and then 49% of people love him. And he has his little story about how he didn't think it was real. And everyone's kind of ripping into him for not researching Yui Ball. So actually, let me go back in time. For anyone who doesn't know the history of this, I'm sure everyone does, but Yui Ball, basically, the film director said, screw all you film critics. Don't diss my films. You're idiots. My films are good. And to prove it, I will fight you. So he said, anyone that's to challenge me to a fight, then come, go ahead. So he's been fighting his critics, which is basically everyone in the universe. It makes you wish that we had a giant athletic, thug on staff so that we could, really see him get beat down. But yeah, so he's been beating up people.
You know what I wonder when like the first fight with Ugo happened? That was, that's a publicity event, people come and watch and it's kind of fun and, hey, we're doing a fight. But how does that go the second time around? Like now with this, something awful guy. Isn't it like, hey, we did this before and why are we in this boxing ring again? Isn't that kind of weird?
But what I actually read was he was going to use the footage of it for the movie of Postal.
Oh, okay, that makes a little bit more sense. All right.
But not really.
So
no. It's still fucking mental. He's still fucking insane. But, whatever. Hopefully him and Jack Thompson can come together at some point and beat the crap out of each other.
I think I want to ban Uwe Boll from our news and from our general discussion as well. We
both
put
of them.
A ban on,
they're both
on Jack
usually
Thompson.
Banned, but
We keep we try to resist the charm of their news, but we fail.
There's something about their
we
character
fall into
that's
their
just the irony, well, not the irony, the sarcasm of the them.
The tragic story of Blue Ball is basically what we feed upon.
Fuck those guys. So I
Yeah.
guess we should end this podcast now,
Yeah,
and
that was
maybe
a good note to end on.
we should consider doing another one soon. So maybe there'll be one.
Perhaps, but people might think the site is updated.
Yeah, this'll do for now. So goodbye from me, and
And
also from Merrick. He can say goodbye for
goodbye.
himself.
Goodbye. Oh, wow.